Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
Man, what is up? It is a rainy Wednesday evening here in Los Angeles. It took me about an hour to get home via traffic. But you know what cheers me up? Coming on the Bruin Bible. And we have a Cook crossover episode. Mr. Wayne Cook joining us once again, man. And just, we're so lucky, man. We've had four straight weeks of the Cook crossover. Madman and I have been so lucky to do this. Just big news after big news has been coming out of UCLA football, Wayne. Very exciting time within the program. A couple of big name hires. I think we got to just jump into it right away, Wayne. Juan Castillo coming in as the offensive line coach. Tim Drevno departing. You know, I think this is very interesting to say the least. I really like it from a standpoint, and Madman and I talked about this in the previous show. It's alignment on everyone knows what they're doing. Everyone's on the same page when it comes to it. Castillo, longtime offensive line coach in Philly with Andy Reid. But what's very intriguing as well is he was the run game coordinator under Eric Bieniemy last year for the Commanders. We have a guy coming in who knows what they want to do, knows exactly what Bieniemy is looking for from the offense with a former relationship that's now going to be playing out at UCLA, and just allowing it to get on the field and seeing what is possible for UCLA football moving forward. First and foremost, how are you doing, Wayne? And how are you feeling about this Juan Castillo hire with Drevno departing from UCLA?
So first, guys, it's always a pleasure. And let's be honest. I usually text you guys. So I'm like, come on, what are you going to have me on next? I have stuff to say. I want to talk. You know, it's weird, you guys. I spent the last 45 minutes listening to Deshaun Foster with Yogi Roth on his podcast.
Yeah.
And one of the things I loved about it is, you know, he kind of reiterated something I've said to you guys before, that this isn't broken. Like, I know we've talked about it, but when you pay attention to what some people think out there, they act like, you know, this ship is sinking and that it's a rebuild. And they brought it up on the podcast and Yogi asked a great question. And then Deshaun answered it very, very well. It's like, we've been real close and this offense has been very good. I mean, just look at the way it's like, they're not going to just abandon the way they've been running the football because they've been one of the best rushing teams, you know, going all the way back to Joshua Kelly. So I really enjoyed not just me because, yeah, I get to be around the program and I talk to people, but like, you know, sometimes I'm just like observing as a football analyst and I'm saying like, listen, I don't think it's going to be too drastic. I think they're still going to do the things that worked, but they're also going to tweak it. And that's exactly what Deshaun said. So he said, we're going to tweak it. We're going to make it better. Because like, I think about this a lot that, you know, the difference between winning championships. So I just heard, I think it was Coach K that said this, like, he said, well, what's the difference between like a championship or whatever? And he goes, like, one play. Yeah. And I went, oh, so good. Because it comes down to that so much. It's like there's this moment in championship seasons where you have to make that play. You said, then that's the difference between you winning it all and ended up with 9 wins. And so, or, you know, it could be that simple. I mean, I even look back to my Rose Bowl season and shoot, we lost games by one, we lost the game by two. Like everybody I talked to from that team's like, man, we should have been undefeated. But there's a couple of plays here and there that cost us in those games. And it's like, man, it's like, that's how close it is. So I love hearing that. So then you fast forward to your question. You have Deshaun Foster, who hinted in this interview that I was just listening to, Bieniemy wasn't the guy yet. He just said, you'll be excited about it. So that was kind of cool to hear that. And then you go out and it's you want to have people on your offensive staff that really know the system really well that can help, especially if you're implementing some new things. And so Juan Castillo is also a coach, by the way, has a ton of experience. And we're a fairly youthful staff at this point. Like you think to some of the more recent hires, like Deshaun, I believe, is only 44 years old, right? So 44, 45, I think Coach Thomas is fairly young as well. And so, like, the idea is now you bring in a guy, I believe Castillo's like 65, I'm guessing.
Older guy, but a lot of experience.
And he's been around for a long time. And I think people, like, we get excited about the youth. And I think you guys might have said this on social media, something along the lines of the youthful, like, ability to recruit. And I agree that that matters. Like, when you have coaches that aren't so far removed from the current athlete that they can relate to a little bit, I think that adds that, like, fire to recruiting. But then to also have those coaches on your staff that have kind of been around, that have been there and done that, and have coached at all different levels and all types of different athletes. And I think you can learn from that too. So I love it. And I love that he was with Bienemy. I love that. And I want to say this too. And I think this is important. Whenever we lose a coach, whenever a coach moves on, and I also appreciated this about Chip Kelly and Ohio State saying, I think, nice things about Deshaun. But I think that Deshaun, when he talked about, you know, Coach Kelly, he was the first one to say, like, this isn't broken. We're going to add what I can add to it. But we've had a good culture. We've had good things going on. We're just going to share that. So I love the hire. I also have to say this, too, because whenever I'm going to come home with you guys, I think about a million of things I want to say. But I'm not one of those people that believes that there's only one good hire for every position. I literally think that because, like, some too many people online, like, they pick their lists. And then I know I said this before, but if you don't go off of their list, there's somehow this is the wrong hire. I think the right leaders bring out the best in the hires. And I think there's a lot of good coaches out there. And I think if you have a coach like Deshaun Foster, who talks about, like, one of the things he mentioned at the press conference and in the interview that I just listened to, is he wants the players to have fun. And he points out that they're gonna work harder when they're having fun. And I totally wholeheartedly agree with that. I really believe that if you love playing football, if you love working out, if you love being on the field, like, if you ask anybody that I played with, like, we laugh and we tell a lot of funny stories because when I was in a good mood, especially, I wanted to have fun. Like, I that sometimes meant cracking a joke in the huddle during a game in front of 75,000 people. Like, to me, that's fun. That's what makes football great. And if you're that type of person, you're going to work harder. You're going to have more fun doing it. You're going to create better relationships, which is going to help the team bond and all that good stuff. And so anyway, great coaching hire. I think it's a good fit. I love the tie-in with Bienemy. And I also like the experience because I think that you have to have that good balance going forward.
No, that's great to hear, Wayne. And there's a second part of this equation in Robert Thomas. And so, yeah. Wayne, what are your thoughts there? Obviously, having to replace Ken Norton Jr., there was a lot of conversation, the energy, the NFL experience, the passion, the culture change. And here you bring Robert Thomas, who shared the field with Deshaun from 98 to 01. They were freshmen together on that iconic 98 team. He's also coming from modern day. There's an opportunity to take some of that SC pipeline in terms of high school recruiting. So a lot to like there as well, Wayne. Another Bruin, another individual who's young and hungry and motivated, and another one who can kind of speak to the passion and the relatability of the modern player. What do you think about Robert Thomas?
So there's a lot of good stuff here. I'm a huge fan. Like, it's so weird because, like, as a player that had just graduated, like, I was, you know, my last year was 94 season. But there's connections between that 98 season and my season. Some of the freshmen on my last year were some of these guys' freshman years. So I feel like I know some of these guys. But my first year broadcasting UCLA was 2001. And I don't want to bring up bad stuff, but man, that team was like, I want to say that I didn't look it up, but I think they were like 6-0. I think Deshaun Foster was like literally on a Heisman tear. Like, he was blowing it up. And if you watch those games, I mean, I know Deshaun Foster was in the backfield, but I swear to you, number 8 on defense was in the backfield freaking all the time. That guy was, you'd look up and you'd go, how did he get there so fast? He was as good at reading defenses and knowing how to get to where the ball was going as anybody. And I remember being blown away with how good he was. And I was I had a chance to share those exact thoughts with him at the press conference. It was just so weird how this stuff's all working out. So I'm doing the press conference and I'm sitting there and there's this really good looking, well-dressed, like, you know, and I'm like, dude, you look awesome. I'm like, I could wear those pants. And I was teasing him about what he was wearing, but I was also talking about like him and Eric Kendricks. And I know that Eric Kendricks just got released by the Chargers. And then Eric Kendricks is one of my favorite UCLA players of all time. I mean, he's so good. But he reminds me of Robert Thomas, the way they read the defense. And so when I start thinking about a coach, and listen, we love Ken Norton, and I wish him the best. And he was great at UCLA, and we're going to miss him. He was a very good coach. But if you're the type of player that knows the keys and has those kind of instincts and knows how to read defenses the way that Robert Thomas does, it's going to be hugely beneficial to because I don't think Robert or Eric Kendricks, the two that I mentioned, are going to, let's just say, go to the combine and wow you with how fast they are or how high they jump or whatever. Right. They're not great athletes. But the most underrated part of being a good athlete is your mind. And I think in all sports, we neglect this so much. And if you're one, two, three steps ahead of the other guys on a regular basis, I played with a guy, Donnie Edwards, who was like that. He kind of always just would sit over there with a stupid smirk on his face because he kind of knew what you were going to do before you did it. And I love guys like that. I think Robert Thomas is that guy. And if he can find a way to share that wisdom with our very talented linebacker core, because another thing that came out in that video is Deshaun does not think the coverage bear at all. And so, like, and if you look at our linebacking core, we got some dudes. We got some guys that can play. And so, like, I get excited, and I also get excited about the fact that those guys played in a Rose Bowl. They beat teams like Alabama when they played. Like, I mean, yeah. We won some big games with those guys. And it's like, my gosh. So I'm excited about that because I'll go back to the press conference because those guys know what it's like to play in the Rose Bowl at a time when the Rose Bowl is just happening, where it's absolutely like when I was being recruited, I went to every Troy Aikman game his senior year. And I'm telling you guys, all you fans out there listening right now, we need to make that happen. We need to make the Rose Bowl. Stop listening to the negativity. Stop listening to what could go wrong. And just imagine those days. Just imagine how much fun the Rose Bowl is. And I don't care. I would love it if we would. I'm serious. You know how we have the student section now in a different place? Would it be cool if at one of our games, and I don't care if the administration is listening to me or not, but if some cheerleaders or yell leaders or whoever walked out and one of them had a U sign and one of them had a C and one had an L and one had an A, because I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember this stuff, but man, I used to love hearing that crap. U-C-L-A. And it would go around the whole stadium and they would do it for a while. And I know it's old school and I know it's not playing stuff over the loudspeakers, but it's getting the fan base involved. And when that place is full and you're doing stuff like that, it's college football. It's college football. So I know those guys know what that's like. I think we should start practicing at the spring game, right, guys? Just make that like a thing. Let's go have fun and start practicing what it's like to be, you know, what UCLA should be.
Yeah, Wayne, so many good points on that one. And, you know, Madman and I talked about this in the last episode too. We are just in a lucky position where we have former UCLA Bruins that bleed blue and gold that are selling the program now. And there's a difference to that. It's people, a lot of the college coaching profession is transactional. Coaches that want to move to different places. But when your dream job is UCLA, like Deshaun Foster, you're Robert Thomas, who played your former Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year, that stuff matters. You know what I mean? When you're selling your home where you grew as a player and as a man, and it made you in a lot of different ways. So one, I want to say, how much of that impact do you think that will help for recruiting? And two, Wayne, I don't know if we've talked about this before. What was it like to get recruited by Terry Donahue and Homer Smith in your time? What was their selling points to you to come to UCLA back in the day when you were coming up in the recruiting world?
So first, the first part of that question is it's huge. Like, I really do believe that every coach I, you know, remember Carl Durrell and Rick Neuheisel are both guys that, you know, bleed, you know, they're Bruins. Yeah. And they give it everything they had. I'm going to say that since those two have been our head coach, we've stepped up our game a little bit when it comes to, or quite a bit actually, when it comes to facilities. And like, they, trust me, guys, they were still in our old locker rooms. we were still a ways off on keeping up with what everybody else was doing. We've done a lot to close that gap. So that's important. But having people that know that, because remember back in those days, we still had to recruit students, right? It's maybe in the early 90s or in the 80s, the requirements were a little bit less. I don't know. I've heard stories. But like, we still had to recruit like people that went to school. And it's always made that pool smaller than what other people's deal with. But we still have players from UCLA in the Hall of Fame. We're still on the top, you know, lists for all time players in Super Bowls and all time players in the NFL. And like, we're still on that top 20 world, like for as, you know, as long as football's existed. So, yes. So like, we found a way. And that, even though, like you mentioned, Terry Donahue, even though, you know, we didn't always win every year, we were never more than a year or two away with a top 10 recruiting class. And we used to get a bunch of those from being right there. We were always there. I always argued that we were never deep enough to afford to lose too many players, like some of the behemoths that are out there that could recruit, you know, everybody. But if we had our guys stay healthy, we could win. And I still think that's the case. And I will always believe that. I believe that in the last few years, even recruiting high school at the level we have, you know, and we can talk about the transfer portal, which has been very, very good. But like, even at that level, we've been close. I think I said this the last time I was on with you guys. We beat the team that won the Pac-12 the last 2 years back to back, just 2 years ago. So like, we can do this. And I think having people that have actually experienced that and have been a part of that and have seen that, and I think that, I just think it's huge. I think it's absolutely huge. As far as like my world, you guys, like, you have to understand that when I was recruited for UCLA, I was, the 80s were like an amazing decade for Terry Donahue. I mean, this is going to sound really weird, but you know, you had a good decade when the Troy Aikman seasons are a disappointment.
Yeah.
And I only say that because we lost SC twice with him. And by the way, Troy, I love you. In my opinion, you're the best quarterbacks ever played for UCLA. And I don't even think it's debatable. And I love K too. I do. And you're right there. And John Schar is right there. And Mark Harmon, I love you too. All these guys are so great. But yet, what do most of those guys have in common? Most of them won a championship for UCLA and they played at Rose Bowl. Okay. So, Troy Aikman was 10-2, and they won a great Cotton Bowl, and they were amazing seasons, but they weren't Rose Bowls. They had gone to 3 Rose Bowls that decade. Then you go to my decade, and we had a little bit of a dry spell, but we had a lot of good players, and then we go to the Rose Bowl my junior year and play in the 84 Rose Bowl, and then Donahue retires, but a lot of his guys were on the team that played in the next Rose Bowl.
Yep, exactly. So
like, again, 5 Rose Bowls. And that's not counting the 2 Troy Aikman teams. That's not counting a 9-3 Tommy Maddox team that was very good and very fun to watch. It's not. We had other good teams in there, but we were always knocking on the door. I've always believed that we need to get back to where we're knocking on the door. We need to be, and every once in a while, you're going to knock it down. And I think that's realistic for UCLA. And I think those. So when I was recruited, it was funny. I knew that you had to go to UCLA and compete. We had amazing classes. I was being recruited Troy Aikman senior year. And if you got, I mean, those teams were so loaded, you guys. I didn't even know any better. I was like, oh, UCLA is recruiting me. This is awesome. You know, I did USC games that year too. I won't lie. I was recruited by them also. But I saw myself more like, I want to be like that guy. I want to be like Troy Aikman. I want to be around this team. And so it was cool. But like, I mean, literally, you guys, we were so deep and so good that when you showed up, you have me, Coach Homer Smith used to cook. You're on the hind tit. That's what he told me all the time. Like, you're on the hind tit. I was like that little runt, you know, on the back trying to get some milk. And he had these weird sayings, and I know that sounds weird, but he would say that stuff, and I'd be like, I'm like 18, 19 years old. But what the heck does that mean? I didn't even know. I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And so, you know, it was just hard because UCLA had so much talent. Everybody was, you know, I don't know what the stars were back then, but everybody had them. We had great players everywhere, and I was sitting behind, you know, You know, Tommy Maddox was a big time recruit. Bert Emanuel was a big time recruit. Jimmy Bonds out of Hart was a big time recruit. Like, we had nothing but really good players, and you had to work your way. And the 80s guys all talked about it. Like, if you were Norrie or Neuheisel or Bono or Matt Stevens or Jay Schrader or any of those guys that played in that era, man, they were scratching and clawing just to get in a game. It was so competitive. So that's kind of what, when I think of UCLA football, I just think of, like, that's what we need. And I actually think we're closer. But I think Deshaun and Robert are two people that were kind of right at the end. You know, is that bad to say? I'm not trying to insult anybody, but it was kind of like, you know, Toledo kind of went the wrong way after that. Which, by the way, I think it was last year. Didn't they go like 8-5 when he got fired?
Yeah.
I want to say it was like, so it wasn't terrible, but remember, we expected more.
Right.
We expected more. So I would love to get back to that world where we're knocking on the door. And I hope people truly believe. I hope people truly believe that it can happen, because it's going to take all of us.
No, Wayne, it's so well said. And kind of that walk down memory lane to sort of tie it back to Robert Thomas and Deshaun Foster. You mentioned those great teams in the 80s, the teams in the 90s, the five Rose Bowl appearances, some of those teams that flew under the radar. That Tommy Maddox year was phenomenal.
Oh, so good.
And I think the one team that's so underrated in the history of UCLA football, and you mentioned it, was that 2001 team, because that was the team that started 6-0, number three in the inaugural BCS.
Yes.
And then everything kind of went undone there. But think about the non-conference, Wayne. They beat Alabama and they beat Michigan, both in the Rose Bowl, both sellouts. And think about kind of the context of that now. And you talk about 6-0, and then that was the year that Deshaun had his 301-yard, four-touchdown game against Washington. I mean, we were rolling at 6-0. And it was just a remarkable time.
You know what? You know what's interesting? And in my years, you know, playing Nebraska, playing Tennessee with Peyton Manning, playing, you know, Michigan. I actually missed Michigan game. My very first year I could travel, I didn't get to go to Michigan, and I still am grumpy about that. But we got to go to Tennessee and play there. Like we used to have at least two of our three, even my Rose Bowl year, we played a ranked BYU team. We played Tennessee, I believe, and we played it. It wasn't Tennessee. Anyway, we played Nebraska with Tommy Frazier. I mean, like, it was just like, it was like the Rose Bowl used to be. I mean, I remember I went to the Troy Aikman Nebraska game where we kicked their – those Nebraska – that was when Nebraska was, like, legit. There was a hit in that game by Matt Darby where he almost killed a guy. And I still remember how crazy the crowd went. And, like, you mentioned that around UCLA, people that hold the Darby hit. Like, it was that game at the Rose Bowl with, you know, 90-plus thousand people, like – we haven't had a schedule like that. And just go back a few years ago. Remember when we had Oklahoma and Cincinnati in the same non-conference? And people were like, well, Cincinnati. I'm like, well, those Cincinnati teams were really good. Like, really good. We would have, like, a real – first few years of Chip Kelly, we had, like, legit non-conference. Well, we're kind of starting to get back to that. Like, these next few years, we're going to have
– that's new, man.
We're going to have some real – I mean, I even think if you look down the road, we got Georgia out there. We've got some games. I don't know how much is going to change, by the way. But, and then you throw in the new, you know, I hate saying this, power two, because it's really not. I know people say that on social media all the time. But, like, when you start getting into conference games and stuff like that, if you can't get excited about the teams that are going to be coming to the Rose Bowl, what I'm really getting at here is it reminds me of that time. And I remember, because I said I was on the sidelines for those 2001 games. Like, it was like, I remember that vividly. Like, that's what people should want to come to UCLA to be a part of. Absolutely. We're going to play big-time opponents. We're not going to be afraid to schedule someone that might beat us, because that's what makes the Rose Bowl fun. And we're going to go out there. I swear to you guys, the Rose Bowl season that I played in, when we lost to Nebraska by one, we became a championship-caliber team.
Yeah.
Because we played an elite team with elite players that was going to, you know, be right there with Florida State in 1993 for a national championship. We played with a team that could beat anybody, and we lost to them by one freaking point. And most of us think we should have won. Yeah. And it was like we woke up the next morning going, you know what, we could win. And we started winning. And I think that happens, and it could happen today too. you get out there and you get to go on the road and play LSU. That's going to be a huge moment. There's going to be a ton of huge moments, but like those are moments where instead of like being that person that sits in their chair in their basement on their computer going, oh, we've got no chance. They have so many. No, screw that. Let's go hit them in the mouth. We already did it once. You know what I mean? Let's go hit them in the mouth. And those, that's what UCLA football is about. Get excited about playing those big time games.
Man, it's going to be interesting too because our back-to-back road games. So
yeah,
we start out at Hawaii, and then we go to the South in Louisiana. And then our third road game, our kind of induction into the Big Ten, is Penn State. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Places. I mean, if you're a player, though, you want to play the best. You want to play in the best environments. So it's going to be exciting. A lot of exciting stuff coming with this Deshaun Foster hire. Wayne, thank you so much for coming on again. I think we nailed it with Juan Castillo on the offensive line. I think we nailed it with Robert Thomas. I'm excited to see what Castillo and Thomas do with the likes of your Holstiges, your DiGiorgios, and your Medranos, and Olufemi Oladejas, and what they can bring to the table and how they're going to recruit moving forward. Wayne, thank you so much for coming on again, man, and joining us on the Bruin Bible.
You guys, it is absolutely always a blast. I know you guys are excited. Spring ball can't get here fast enough.
And
by the way, you guys, we get to go out and just watch. Like, I mean, I know I always get to be on the field, but that, like, you guys get to be right there, I think. I wonder where they're going to let everybody, because they said it's open, right?
What a soft flex, Wayne. You know, Wayne's like, I get to be on the field and you guys will be around. I love the soft flex there, you know.
Well, I don't want to have to look up and see you up in the parking lot. Like, I don't know how it's going to, I mean, because it really is like, you guys don't know this. Like, there used to be bleachers. Like and people would come and sit in the stands and watch practice whenever they wanted to.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting to see what come out and watch. It'll be interesting to see what that looks like. Will everybody be up in Lottie? I don't know, but I don't know about you guys, but I think that's cool. It's gonna add excitement to the team.
If it's open, and a short little segue here, we were closer to the parking lot because we didn't get access, but it was actually the better spot. Because we
you could see the quarterback battle play out
last year. Dante Garber, Lee, and all those guys.
True.
It was awesome, man. But Wayne, thanks again for coming on, man. Always a blast. Yeah. Let's have you on again soon if you're up for it, man.
Always up for it, guys. Thank you so much.
Take it easy, guys. Bruin Bible, we are officially out. Stay tuned for the next episode coming.